Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
AutoLeasing.com.
It's time to pop the question, but you want to get the ring right. You know those screenshots your girlfriend keeps sending you? Zadok can make anything you're looking for. They also offer 12-month financing. Zadok.com, then head on over to Post Oak and San Felipe at Zadok Jewelers.
What's up, everybody? Clint Sterner here. Guys, make your health a priority with a quick and easy health assessment at Low T Center. They exclusively specialize in men's wellness, and they are one of the leading men's medical providers in the country. It all starts with an annual wellness exam where they do a comprehensive health assessment exclusively for men, making it quick and easy to take care of your health. And now they offer monitored self-inject at-home testosterone treatments for $135 a month, self-pay, or covered by most health insurance. Go to LowTCenter.com now to book your appointment. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
KILT.
KILT FM HD2.
Houston.
Your home for the latest information on the standoff
between Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
Insider access.
Exclusive content.
Sports Radio 610.
The Texans
play here.
An Odyssey station.
Sports Radio 610 presents
Payne and Pendergast.
Presented by Allied Home Security.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you tuning in. On Friday, Nick Caserio met with the media. John McClain got the first question again. Drink. That was part of our drinking game. John McClain led off the press conference with, what is the latest on your quarterback, Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
There were 9 total Deshaun Watson questions, Seth, out of the 23 that were asked. So pretty solid batting average for Deshaun Watson.
I spent time thinking about this during the show because we haven't talked about this in a few hours now. And I'm wondering, the fact that we didn't learn a single thing about the organization and how it's treating Deshaun Watson, I suppose, is that a sign of us taking it easy on Nick Caserio because this is not his creation? Is it a sign of just general resignation over the Deshaun Watson situation, or is it a combination where we also just, I think we all kind of assume that the Texans are out on Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson's out on the Texans, and it's just a matter of how it happens exactly down the road. All of that depends on what happens legally.
Bingo.
So it's not worth worrying about.
Bingo. That last part you said, the reason why we're treating it, maybe handling it emotionally, how we're all processing it, to me has everything to do with the fact that we went into this whole saga, and by the saga, I'm referring to the legal part of this, the litigation that began about a month ago. We headed into that with Deshaun Watson already not wanting to be here anymore. This would be a much different story. It's already a big story. Obviously, we spent a ton of time on it, and it feels like news comes out every day. That's what made this weekend feel so strange. It was so quiet. This would be a much different feel to this story, Seth, if Deshaun Watson were still in on wanting to be with the Houston Texans, because we would be, we would be really concerned with what the suspension is going to look like for the upcoming season, if there's going to be one. I think a big talking point would be, has he admitted to enough to where the Texans feel like they need to move on from Deshaun Watson? You know, he's not admitted to anything illegal necessarily, but he's admitted to some things that, you know, certainly from a branding standpoint and just, you know, a creepiness standpoint, all those things, where you go, okay, is this the guy we want to be the face of our franchise? He plays a position that's a really different kind of position when it comes to what standard do we hold this guy to. Now, the flip side is he's also incredible at that part of his job. He's a great quarterback. So would the team be more inclined to be out on Deshaun Watson because he's the quarterback and he's the face of the franchise? Or would they be more inclined to weather the storm, go through whatever PR hoops they needed to go through, Deshaun goes through some therapy, whatever it may be, assuming that he were able to get through this from a, you know, a legal perspective, clean on the other side, maybe with just some settlements or whatever, and weather the storm and keep him as their quarterback? Those would be the things that we're talking about, but we're handling it differently because we just assume that Deshaun's days are numbered as a Texan, whether that number is 12 more days before this draft or 380 days before the next draft. I think most people are assuming Deshaun Watson's never going to play another meaningful snap again for the Houston Texans.
You know, somebody last week when I talked about, you know, the timeline, I will probably never know the exact timeline where Deshaun started to feel the heat. When did he think that he was going to ask to get out, you know, as these allegations were also coming in? There's at least some lag here where Deshaun had asked for a trade, and then sometime over the next couple months, he started to get a feel for the fact that there were some disgruntled former female professional acquaintances out mm-hmm. there. And I had said, you know, I guess it's feasible that maybe at least one of the things contributing to him wanting to get the hell out would be if he had learned about this all in late December, early January. Maybe it's feasible. But somebody said, well, hey, what's it matter? I mean, it's national news, and these women are from all over. Well, only several are from outside of Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of them are from Houston, Texas, and I wonder how much, if we start to entertain the possibility that, okay, well, maybe Deshaun realizes that the best place for him from a football standpoint is to be back in Houston after he gets through with all of this, depending on how guilty or liable he is in these instances, I mean, there's just a simple matter. The fact of the matter is that there are 22 plus women here who all live here, have families that live here. There are people that know these. Like, does Deshaun want to live, regardless of the outcome of the trial, like on a day-to-day basis, living in a city where you either definitely did some stuff, or even if you didn't do it, if you didn't do it, you still have these people that accused you. I could just see wanting to get the hell out of Houston, even if it makes the most sense from a football standpoint.
I could see the Texans wanting to get him the hell out of Houston also.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Flip side. Cal McNair does not seem like the kind of guy that holds a grudge at all. I think he's pretty good at, I don't want to say forgive and forget or just, you know, he's very much about moving forward, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Would they forget and forgive the fact that he tried to force his way out? Like, let's say hypothetically everything is resolved, Deshaun settles out of court, feels like, I don't know, there's some huge thing. Do you think Cal McNair would be inclined to kind of say, all right, the bygones be bygones, everything happens for a reason, let's start back at square one here in Houston?
I don't think you can separate what's gone on in the last month from that. You know what I mean, Seth? Like, yeah. If Deshaun were to demand a trade, honestly, let's take the litigation out of it. Let's pretend that none of this ever happened, that it was just he was dissatisfied with the team. I think that's what they were hoping for a while there. He demanded a trade, but we're going to convince him that this is the place to be. Hell, they sent David Culley to go do a Zoom call with him after he had demanded a trade to sell him on his vision. So I think they would have been fine with that. I just don't think you can separate fully what's gone on or what he's been accused of and admitted to. You know, there are things he's admitted to in all this over the last month.
Right.
Or so.
Oh yeah, well, he's admitted to consensual activity.
Right.
But I don't, because part of that though too is when you try to bring a guy back in or force him to come, then that's the leader of your team and he doesn't want to be there. That mm-hmm. doesn't work out. That's why the players always have more leverage than their contract would state.
Yeah.
But could it also be that Deshaun himself realizes, like, okay, I don't want to, this is a play, I don't know,
yeah,
who knows,
yeah,
whatever.
As far as why there's been no real news this weekend, you just need to go to Instagram probably to see that. Tony Busby on the plaintiff side of things, Tony Busby on Instagram, there was a photo shoot for his dog Lucy. So he was very preoccupied with a photo shoot. And Seth, the type of dog this is, Amy texted me, it's a beagle. So
it's a beagle?
It's a beagle,
okay.
Yeah. I think you had said maybe a basset hound earlier.
I was looking on my phone this weekend, and is it a chubby beagle?
It's got some basset-like features. Yeah, a little double chin thing going on there. No disrespect, Lucy, or Tony Busby. I don't want to be sued over slandering Tony Busby's dog, but they had a photo shoot at the, quote, Lucy had a photo shoot today at the River Oaks house. She's so photogenic, and this is not just somebody standing there with an iPhone shooting her. This is like legit, like cameras and the big screens where they shine a flashlight. I mean, Lucy is getting, I think Lucy's getting more attention than Amy and I got from our photographers when we had our wedding a year ago. This is incredible.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty heavy duty photo shoot.
Yeah.
If it were up to me, no animals would be allowed to have to undergo photo shoots unless they're being given heavy snacks the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And
like
royalties.
It better be there's a minimum wage for pet photo shoots, in my opinion. It's at least one dog bone per 3 minutes.
Seth drives a hard bargain. The other photo.
I'll say this though too, Sean.
Yeah.
I don't think PETA. I don't think PETA would be very happy about Tony Busby's tactics.
Really?
They in a perfect world, all animals would be free from human interference and free to live their lives the way nature intended.
Mm, yeah.
So, yeah. Now, if you rescued that dog from a puppy mill,
yeah,
then so be it. PETA would approve.
Right.
But if that's like a purebred puppy or something, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have the details on that. The other picture that's probably more relevant to everybody out there as far as how certain sides are feeling about things. Deshaun Watson, if you're wondering where Deshaun Watson has been on social media, liking things on Twitter the last couple of days, because we had some people text in earlier, multiple people said, hey, you guys noticed Deshaun hasn't liked anything on Twitter in a couple of days. That's kind of been how he's been speaking on things throughout all this without directly tweeting. It's because he's on vacation with his girlfriend. And the picture that actually has Deshaun in it, the two of them are on a jet ski. She is steering the jet ski, or she's in the driver's position. Deshaun is sitting behind her, hugging her from behind, but his face is facing away from the camera. His face is behind her head. Her head is looking directly at the camera, and she has both double rod middle fingers flipping the camera, the birds.
It's just her and Deshaun against the world.
Yes.
Right now, Sean.
Yeah.
They're like Bonnie and Clyde or something.
Big
I suppose.
Time. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where they are. There's hills in the background. It looks like they're partially foliated at this point.
Yes.
So it's somewhere where it's warm enough to be on a jet ski without a shirt on, you know, just like a normal swimwear. And yet the leaves aren't completely on the trees. I'm guessing that might be in the Carolinas somewhere.
Could be.
Is he looking away from the camera, or is he looking towards Charlotte? That's my question.
Good question.
What's Lake Norman like this time of year, just north of Charlotte?
Yeah, it looks like it's hard to tell, you know,
looks
east,
like a dammed
west.
Lake of some sort, doesn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hills and everything. It definitely looks like it's in the Carolina region.
Sure does. Sure
There's
does.
Got to be leaves on the trees. And, maybe not. No, it's further north.
I guess are we to take away from this that they're, you know, that she is she's weathering the storm with him here? I'm not going to say she's okay with some of the things he's admitted to, but but that they're weathering the storm together.
Wonder how's that conversation go when you've got to say, listen, I'm not the man they're portraying to me to be, honey. Okay?
You're about to hear some things.
I just want you to understand that I am not that monster that they are portraying to me to be. Now, there were some things that happened that perhaps, you know, the way it was explained to me was that this was all part of the therapy. I didn't want to do it. It was just it was part of the release part of it.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's claiming that it's consensual.
Yeah.
I mean, did he have Rusty Harden call his girlfriend and explain to her? Like, no,
I would. Rusty would be smooth as hell. I would absolutely have Rusty explain it.
I've got three precedents for why you're going to stick around with him.
Naming cases from the 60s.
In top heavy versus the state of Texas.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, no, Busby cited the top heavy case.
That's right. That's right. We have a follow-up, a story that we played some audio from on Friday, the viral Bobcat video. If you didn't hear this on Friday, we'll replay it, but we have follow-up and a conclusion, and one of the I would say one of the biggest scourges of entertainment during the pandemic has weighed in on this story. She is out of her hole and has weighed in on this story. Yes.
You're calling Jake Paul a her?
That's not who I'm referring to. We'll get to it next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. All right, so...
Oh, we were talking about Mr. Pendergast during the break. He's a fascinating person.
He is. And he's a P1 listener to this show, that's my dad, Mr. Pendergast. Not me, because when people call me Mr. Pendergast, I say, Mr. Pendergast is my dad.
Yeah.
You know? And then he says...
I don't even know your dad's first name.
Then he says, you're damn right I'm Mr. Pendergast. Who'd be Paul? Paul is his first name. He goes by Paul. So Seth, we played this bit of audio last week and I feel like we need to reset because there are people weighing in on this. And this was a big topic on my national show yesterday, just to give you an idea of where we are in the news cycle right now. A bobcat attacking a husband and a wife in their driveway was a big topic on my national radio show yesterday. And people began calling in with stories of the most dangerous animals that they've ever come face to face with. And I felt like I was doing sort of a violent snuff film version of Captain Mickey's show. It basically turned into the outdoors show, but it was people being terrified by different animals out there in the wild, as opposed to Captain Mickey's show, which is really just a couple of, it's Captain Mickey in his very low-key monotone talking to other monotone fishermen about the biggest fish that they've caught.
Them exerting their opinion, their dominance over those beasts,
over those fish, yeah,
those fish, yeah.
This is
beasts making us feel like cowardly little field mice,
right?
Yes.
Coming into our ecosystem and imposing their will on us.
When predator becomes prey,
that's right. Yeah, it's a good way to put it. So just to refresh, and I believe this took place in North Carolina is what we're finding out now. We're getting a lot of facts now. On this husband and wife in their driveway that were attacked by a wild bobcat. And take a listen. We'll, again, provide a little bit of the play-by-play until it starts to get real. But this is the audio of a 46-second home security video that we played last week on the show of a couple being attacked by a bobcat in their driveway. Reminder that it starts with the two of them just getting into a minivan in their driveway, looking to go to a birthday party, holding a tray of brownies, and getting into their car, and they're just, it's waving to a neighbor, saying hello, talking about they need to wash their car, and then it gets real.
Good morning. I need to wash my car.
Okay, here it comes. Here it comes. And there's the bobcat. Okay, so they're screaming. The guy grabs the bobcat and throws it across the yard.
Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! Lindsay! Watch out! Oh, shoot that Get up! Watch out! Watch out! It's a bobcat attacking my wife! A bobcat!
He sounds like a drill sergeant at the end there. Did you say bobcat? Bobcat!
The well-meaning neighbor that had been running by was really annoying because she thought she was like rescuing somebody from a domestic disturbance or something. She looked at like anything, she was trying to rescue a house cat.
Yeah.
As she ran over. The other thing that was disturbing about this, Sean,
yeah,
was when I first saw the video and I had texted it to you, at that point, the algorithm hadn't taken over from Twitter, and there were a whole lot of people just saying, like, wow, what a badass. That guy is really cool. Can't believe that he risked himself to go do that for his wife. By now, it's turned into nothing but people wondering, why was he so cruel to that poor bobcat? Why on earth did he have to throw the bobcat? They're not that big, and it's really annoying right now.
Okay, so, Seth, you know who has now weighed in on this? Carol Baskin. The antagonist of the Tiger Fame miniseries on Netflix.
Oh, okay. And I bet, is she one of these people who would say that he was too rough with the poor bobcat?
Well, she, of course, is the founder and CEO of Big Cat Rescue.
Right. These are not big cats. Bobcats are little cats. They're bigger than a house cat, and they're scariest. It's like the scariest nightmare version of a house cat you've ever seen. If you've ever seen one in nature in the wild, they don't look that big. And then you get up close and you're like, that's way bigger than I'm comfortable with.
Okay.
Way bigger.
Okay, so I'm going to let you guess here for a second, Seth. Do you think that Carol Baskin, A, says, good? And by the way, the end of the story is that the bobcat ended up getting shot. And okay. These folks ended up getting bit, and they had to get rabies shots. I had multiple people tell me that yesterday as a follow-up to this story, so I choose to believe it's true. Do you think that Carole Baskin stuck up for the bobcat or said the bobcat had what was coming to him or her?
I think she's going to say that it could have been – I bet she's going to say that animal control didn't have to shoot it.
Okay.
But that she'd be generally – because I would imagine she understands that an untrained amateur is going to go into fight or flight immediately and want to protect his human wife first and foremost, mm-hmm. that she'll understand that. Because more than anything, when she was younger, she was pretty hot.
She was. Yeah, she was very – she was. That's the
okay. – I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Because she was hot in 1984.
Yeah.
So here's the quote from Carole Baskin, according to the Associated Press. Quote, "I've never heard of anything like this. Any wild bobcat is not going to walk up to a human. They are extremely shy. They are doing, okay, here we go. They're doing a huge service for us. They do it quietly and secretly. They are there. You just never see them." And what she's referring to is that we can't let these attacks color our impression of bobcats because often they feed on rodents at night. So were it not for the bobcat, it would be a bunch of wild rats and mice attacking this poor guy in his driveway.
Yeah, that's okay. That's great. For one, it's not like this is the first bobcat attack ever in the history of humanity. What the hell is Carole Baskin talking about?
Carole Baskin got ugly in a hurry, huh?
Plus, you can see there are a lot of people that thought that, oh, this was staged or something.
Yeah.
You can see, if you watch at the very beginning, Sean, I don't know if you noticed this or saw this, you can actually see the bobcat on the left side of the screen run up in the early stages. Yeah, like run very quickly from across the street over to their house. Yeah, it's so like you can see it's definitely not staged. You can see the bobcat approach from across the street.
I got Seth. So I put the question out there. Yes, a similar question to what you and I were chopping up last Friday, but with the benefit of a nationwide audience calling in with their stories. What's the scariest animal you've ever come face-to-face with? There were some scary – there was everything, Seth, from a guy telling a story about barracuda underwater in the Bahamas, which that would be really scary. There was a guy that told a story about his dog came into the house in the middle of the night or came into the bedroom in the middle of the night with him and his wife, jumped in the bed super scared, so they knew something was up. They went outside. The dog ran over to the fence as if to show the owner of the house, like, hey, whatever it is behind this fence. The owner climbed up on the fence, took a flashlight, shined it down, and there was a 60-pound possum staring up at him, hissing, in the middle of the night. I get terrified just telling that story on the air. Like, there were a lot of really, really – there was a guy who was out on a jog, and two Rottweilers just were staring at him and kind of, like, inching closer to him, and at the very last second, the owner of the Rottweilers whistled, and they ran into the house. He was about to get mauled by two Rottweilers.
Was the owner just toying with this poor guy?
I think he happened to be jogging like
his dogs
on their property. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be funny though if the guy was doing that. Look at this guy squirm.
This is the problem with Carole Baskin saying that the bobcat attacks are rare, because they are rare. But this is the problem. That's all well and good until you're the actual person being attacked by the bobcat. Like, as the bobcat is latched on to your calf, you're not thinking, well, this is exceedingly rare.
Right. He's gnawing your leg off, and your wife's like, honey, that's a bobcat. I know, but this rarely happens.
Yeah, 2019, a 4-year-old girl and 4 family members are recovering after a bobcat attack on Mount Graham.
Yeah.
This is in some place where Mount Graham is.
Yeah.
Like it happens. The same thing. You know what? Doctors do the same damn thing. They're like, well, you know, this side effect is rare. And you're like, okay, well, it happens in like 1% of patients.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not so rare. That's 1 out of 100 people.
Yeah.
Like, you're basically every 1%, like 1% of your patients, you're just calling them liars.
Pretty much.
Because it's rare. So it's rare. It's rare, except that when it happens, it's pretty damn traumatic to the person that it's happening to.
No doubt. No doubt. Seth, I did steal your description of the husband holding the bobcat up over his head.
Yeah.
Of the Lion King.
Looking like Simba.
Yes. I did steal that from you on the broadcast. So, and I did not give you credit for it either.
The scariest, people swim with sharks. I can't get into that.
Mm-mm.
I don't think I'd be able to do that. I was watching. Oh, you know what, Sean? Oh. really, really good documentary on Netflix.
Writing it down. Go.
My Octopus Teacher. Oh, my gosh. This is, you got to watch My Octopus Teacher. It's okay. Only 90 minutes long.
Okay.
But this guy forms a relationship with an octopus. And you think, like, well, that's stupid. No. They're incredibly intelligent, these octopuses. Octopi, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. They call them octopuses, too, in different things. I think you can say octopuses.
Okay.
And it sounds less snooty. So this octopus is incredibly intelligent. I had no idea. And he forms kind of an emotional attachment with this octopus. And then you should watch the rest of it. But part of it is he's swimming around these sharks. I think they're called pajama sharks or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not tiny sharks. But he's like, no big deal. He's swimming around these sharks all day long, which are the octopus's greatest predator in here. These people that can swim around sharks, I feel you know what happens? Because what Carol Baskin is doing with the bobcat, the same people do with sharks, where they'll say, hey, sharks are – it's relatively rare for a shark to attack a person. Like, well, yeah, that's cool until you're the person being attacked
yes,
by a shark.
You got no legs.
So I'm going to go ahead and be mindful and careful of sharks.
Yep, indeed. All right, would you rather be the first overall pick and go to the Jags or the third overall pick and go to the 49ers? I put that question to the people, and that's something that these quarterbacks are, I'm sure, thinking about that are campaigning for the 49ers right now. Trey Lance, the latest one today. We'll tell you what the people think of my question and what their decision would be next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So I put up a poll yesterday, Seth, during my CBS show, because as you can imagine, on a national show, a lot of debate and discussion about the top of the draft and what San Francisco is going to do. There's a lot of debate and discussion on our show about that, what San Francisco is going to do, in no small part because that third pick was the Texans' pick two teams ago.
That's right. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah,
that's my pick.
Yeah.
My pick.
That's my pick that's now been in three different sets of hands. I put up a poll yesterday, and I'm curious if you were in this position as a quarterback, what your choice would be. Would you rather be the first overall pick to the Jaguars and all the prestige that comes with that, or the third overall pick to the 49ers? What's a better situation? Would you rather be the first
really
overall pick
question.
Or the third
There's
overall
more- pick? I think I'd rather be the third overall pick to the 49ers. It's just a better situation, right? I mean, there's just so many unknowns with the Jaguars right now. They don't have nearly as good as an overall roster. Now, they have a ton of cap space, but are they willing to use it? Because Jacksonville always has a ton of cap space. And they've had a couple years where they've spent in free agency. But for the most part, I wonder if Texans Cap is listening right now. Hey, Texans Cap on Twitter, if you're listening right now, spit me out a report about like how little cap space the Jaguars
Stat.
Have used historically. I'm gonna text him and see if he can do that for us for tomorrow. So, look, San Francisco has been there more recently. Yes, they have more cap constraints and what have you, but they also have. Nick Bosa. So I'm going to go with – I would go with San Francisco. I don't think about – like, I don't know. What's the difference in pay between the number one overall pick and number three overall
That's
pick?
That's a good question. It's probably a couple million bucks over the life of the deal, you know, over the life of the rookie deal.
I would look at it and I'd think I've got a better chance of performing really well, winning, getting a second contract with the same team. Like, put yourself in the best chance to succeed. And I think the 49ers are that rare team where usually the team's picking at the top of the draft. They're in a position to take a quarterback high. They're either brand new, like the Jaguars are. They got brand new coach, brand new GM, brand new everything. Or they've proven to be inept already. Or, as is the case with the 49ers, maybe they just had really bad luck and then they got really aggressive trading up. But I think the chance to work with Kyle Shanahan versus Urban Meyer, that's the interesting one. There are very few American football coaches who are as good as Urban Meyer, who have had the kind of success that Urban Meyer has had. I don't know if anybody has been as consistently successful as him. I mean,
Nick Saban's had a few clunkers along the way.
Yeah, like he hasn't even had mediocre seasons. What has he had? One mediocre season?
He was 8-5. His worst season was 8-5 at Florida.
Yeah. So
it's a total outlier.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
Right. But he hasn't done it in the NFL.
That's right.
And how's it going to work? That's a big unknown. Kyle Shanahan, He's been to the Super Bowl twice as a coordinator or head coach. Consistently gets the absolute best out of his quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing it his entire career in the NFL. So I would feel better about San Francisco.
85% of the people agree with you. 81%. 81%
oh, okay.
of the people.
Well, screw that other 4%. That just 81%.
They didn't just. I misread it. 81% of the people agree with you. They would go to San Francisco with the third pick, and 19% would go to Jacksonville with the first pick. I'll be honest with you, Seth. I thought it would be a little closer. In part because of Urban Meyer. In part because Jacksonville is flush with draft capital to build around that quarterback. San Francisco just forfeited draft capital to go get that quarterback. Like, San Francisco does not have a first-round pick the next couple of years after this. So I think that, combined with Urban Meyer's collegiate resume and the hope that it translates. Hey, I had a few people saying Jacksonville, you know why? No state income tax. You know, and that's when you start to get into that tax bracket, we're not talking about insignificant amounts of money.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It just never factors in as much as you would expect it to. And I think at least part of that, I wonder, you know what, I got to figure out how agents are taxed on their money. Because what happens, the rule of the player is, when a player plays in California, like on an away game, you got to pay a certain percentage of your tax in California.
Yeah.
And so likewise, I wonder if an agent, when he has a player, he probably just pays income tax on whatever state he's in and resides in. So if you live in Pennsylvania and your client's in Texas or Florida or California, it doesn't matter to the agent.
Yeah, you get a commission off your salary.
So the person advising him, the person advising him is just like, oh, whatever. No, no, I've got the client's best interest in mind. What do I really care?
Are there any NFL players that do their own taxes, do you think? That sounds so damn confusing.
It's confusing. It's because you have, not only do you have state income tax from the away games, you also have sometimes city entertainer taxes.
Oh my God.
Some cities have income taxes. Like, it's crazy. You have a stack. You got a pretty big stack of returns you have to file every year. So I don't know if they do. Kudos to them. Because otherwise, it's a relatively simple return. You don't have a lot of business expenses.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Stuff's covered. I think it would have been, I thought it would be closer, and we're talking about a poll that I put up yesterday. Would you rather be the number one overall pick to the Jags, or would you rather be the number three overall pick to the 49ers? I thought it would be closer to, I thought the Niners would win, but I thought it would be closer to 50-50, because my follow-up was going to be, okay, what if it were the Jets instead of the Jags? Like, I think the Jets still have a making for a more dysfunctional situation than the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, if you're asking me to buy stock in just the franchises, and Jags for sure now, because they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence as opposed to the Jets, who are drafting Zach Wilson. But I think the Jets have a bigger stigma on them than the Jags. So I don't know.
The Jags is just strange. Like, how do you end up, other than that one weird year in 2017? How do they end up so inept so often? And how do they misfire so much? I guess a lot of it, you just have, you know what, and this is what you always have to remember with any NFL team. It's like I always say, you know, they're small organizations. They can be turned around really quickly. They can also stay in the same spot. They can be mired down pretty quickly by just one or two wrong personnel choices. I mean, you choose the wrong GM twice in a row, and you're looking at a decade of stagnancy. Now, the Jaguars, one of the biggest problems they had was that they stuck with their latest GM for, what, 7 years?
A ton of time, yeah.
Yeah, and before him it was, who was it? I can't even remember. And then you had Coughlin and that experiment. So it might be just a matter of Urban Meyer. It's sink or swim with Urban Meyer. He might end up turning everything around.
I think the Jags' biggest problem, and this should be a little scary if you're a Texan fan, knowing that they're about to move on from Deshaun Watson at some point, or likely they're going to move on from Deshaun Watson at some point, is I think a big thing that the Jags, Seth, a big part of their problem is they spent a top 10 pick on a quarterback in 2011 who was terrible. They spent the third overall pick in 2014 on a quarterback who was terrible and had his reign extended because he was given credit for that 2017 season that you're talking about, when in fact – they were winning games in spite of Blake Bortles, not because of Blake Bortles.
Right, yeah. You know? So that's just so one or two bad quarterback decisions.
That's it.
And I wonder now, too, the kind of the climate has changed just so much in 4 or 5 years, where it seems like teams are more willing than ever to move on from a failed number one overall pick.
Yes.
I mean, that was a year where they could have drafted Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes that year. They took Leonard Fournette instead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Now that was after what? That was after Blake Bortles. That was after the 2016 season.
That's
so
right.
They weren't quite ready to move on from Blake Bortles yet.
Yeah, and you know what, Seth? But that was 3 years in with Bortles. That's about the time. The climate on quarterbacks drafted in the top 10 has changed between 2016 and now. You know, Josh Rosen to me was kind of the game changer in that realm. When the Cardinals decided after 1 year to punt on their head coach and punt on their quarterback and just start over again because they had the number one overall pick in the draft, like that to me was the shifting point. That's where it's become, I don't know if we've seen anybody do it after just 1 year, but the Dolphins entertaining doing it reportedly with Tua for Deshaun Watson was viewed as, hey man, this is just the broken glass of drafting a quarterback. It's viewed as much more acceptable now.
You know, and part of it too, there's a couple things. It's easier to say than to actually do it, but it's easier to play quarterback in the NFL now than it used to be. There's just the rules help you out. The other thing is that teams have done a better job of adapting to young quarterback skills. They've incorporated the run pass option, the read option, all that stuff. So it's easier to be a young quarterback and play well. So I think that teams probably feel more that they can figure it out. They can see, there's an expectation that if you're genuinely good, you're going to show it in your first 3 years. And guys that don't, they're not going to sit around and wait because it's not so much harder to produce in the NFL like it used to. So they just move on. The other thing that goes along with that too, Sean, was it's gotten so hard to play linebacker in the NFL. I was just thinking about that this weekend. I was watching a couple of young guys play. And just the RPOs are such a nightmare. Like you got these guys just trying to figure out where the hell the football is at any given time. Because quarterbacks have the defensive players on a string, kind of. They're just such sleight of hand artists. Pat Mahomes is the best at it in a lot of ways, and defenses are really on their heels in a lot of ways.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. So this afternoon is I believe it's this afternoon. It might be later this morning. Trey Lance's pro day. So do we come in tomorrow and is Trey Lance overtaking Justin Fields and Mac Jones for the third overall pick in the draft?
This is his second pro day, right?
It is his second pro day.
Yeah. It's all the vogue these days where people don't have enough film on him and everything. Get him in there for a second pro day. There's some of these guys that couldn't make it the first time, will be there the second
time.
Well,
they can't do individual workouts. I think that's a big reason why, right? Because of COVID, they're still not able to – are they able to bring guys into the facility?
Well, they do that every year, and it drives me insane. They're not individual workouts when they bring them into the facility.
Okay.
It's just a visit.
Gotcha.
You're only allowed to work out at a team facility if you live basically in that city.
Yeah.
So, like, guys from University of Houston can come work out at the Texans facility. But whenever guys are traveling, that's just a visit. So they're not able to do that this year. It's all via Zoom. But the actual pro days they're doing, some of these guys have done two instead of just the normal one.
Do you buy the conjecture that the San Francisco 49ers, this is Connor Orr on SI.com in his mock draft, that because the 49ers are holding on to Jimmy Garoppolo, the smoke should read that they're drafting Trey Lance because they must have an experienced quarterback for this season because he's only played one game in the last 2 years, and it's at the FCS level.
Yeah, that's that doesn't make any sense to me at all. Is it not? Am I going crazy here? It seems like the standard operating procedure is that you trade that veteran quarterback of yours at the earliest, like pretty much right on draft day or leading up to draft day when you know for sure when everything's really solidified, or you take care of it afterwards. You either keep them around or maybe somebody gives you a good offer. You know, Alex Smith, perhaps, like guys like that.
Well, he's acting like Connor Orr, who did this mock draft, is taking what the 49ers are saying at face value. They're saying we're hanging on to Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't believe them. You know, if someone comes in with an offer, they'll trade Jimmy Garoppolo, is my guess, and they'll move forward with whatever young quarterback they're going to use that third pick on. You know,
but I also don't think, you know, is I guess, is Mac Jones that much smarter than Trey Lance and that much more experienced that he wouldn't benefit from having a veteran quarterback in the room or somebody with whom to compete? I don't know. I guess I'm not really buying that either. So I don't, the presence or non-presence of Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't do much for me one way or the other. I get it, like at this point, there's so much rumor, there's so much flack. I guess there are enough people saying really confidently that the 49ers are taking Mac Jones that I just generally assume that, okay, I guess they're definitely taking Mac Jones. Unless somebody moves up into number two and because they want Mac Jones that bad.
How about North Dakota State is about to have their second quarterback taken in, you know, presume at the very least the top 10.
Yeah,
you know, if not, you know, if Trey Lance goes third or fourth or fifth, that'll be their second quarterback in the top five in the last six drafts.
Well, it goes to show you, football's such a weird sport because they miss. It's a sport that requires the most physical maturity, and yet long and lasting decisions are made basically when guys are very young.
Mm-hmm.
So, 18-year-old kids, you know. Look, you can go to a Division III school and make it in the NFL. It's really, really hard, and it's really, really rare. So the guys that either walk, that get scholarships to Division I-A schools, or you know, walk on and make it, they've got a much better chance. But some of the guys, like Trey Lance, in a lot of ways, just didn't get enough. His teams were so dominant that he barely had any reps or film on him when he was in high school. And colleges just didn't have much to go on based off of him. He didn't go to a lot of camps. He didn't parade himself around like a lot of the other kids do. And teams just flat out didn't know him. So I don't know if it says as much about North Dakota State as it does just that. Well, look at what else happens up in the great North there. Like Adam Thielen, completely ignored. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows a damn thing about him. He just shows up to one of those regional combines and off he goes. He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. There are a lot of guys sitting around in bars at 7 p.m. talking about how they could have made it in the NFL. There are more guys that probably actually have a pretty good point than you want to believe.
Yep.
Like we never, you know, you always think that guy's just drunk and full of crap, but there are a lot of guys that were just late bloomers. Like I didn't get a scholarship offer because I was 3 inches shorter my senior year in high school than I was going to end up being.
Oh, it's when you hit your growth spurt in college, huh?
Yeah, I was very. I was like a. It's like a. This might as well have been singing in a boys' choir.
That's Seth Payne, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, hey, the NFL draft is just 10 days away. Odyssey has teamed up with the Locked On Podcast Network to bring you the ultimate mock draft 2021. 6 days of comprehensive first round NFL mock draft, and it'll include experts like Michael Irvin, Ross Tucker, Brian Baldinger, and more. Search and subscribe to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and rabies vaccinations.
Thank you.
Someday we'll have it. We'll have a rabies vaccination.
God willing. All right, In the Loop is up next. You've got them for the next 4 hours. Seth and I are back at 6 a.m. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.